If you would, turn your Bibles to the book of Luke today. The sermon title today is The Return. And I'm not talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus or the rapture of the church. I'm talking about a return on your investment. A return on your investment. So if you would turn with me to Luke chapter 6 today. Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6, we're going to read verses 27 through verse 36. So Luke chapter 6, verse 27, and it says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the others also, and from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your cloak either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High. For He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful." Many times, this is a scripture you will not hear very many sermons preached on, to say the least. It's easy to love those who love you. It's easy to love those who respond back in like manner. But how good are we today as a church at loving those who don't love us? Even those that will hate us, do we still share love with them? Can you get your arms and your head wrapped around that? Because that's a very difficult saying, that you should love those who hate you. You should love those that would spitefully use you. As a church, we need to be able to get our arms around this, because remember that they deserve the same salvation that you received. Before we get into the text, let's look at some other scriptures that kind of support this, and we're going to go into it a little bit deeper when we come back to it. But turn with me to Matthew 22 and verse 34. So we go back to Matthew 22. In Matthew 22 and verse 34... 22, verse 34, it says, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." All of the law hangs on these two points. Why would he say that? Because when you look at the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments of the Ten Commandments are all about our relationship with God. The last six of the Ten Commandments speak of our relationship that we have with others. So in your life today, if you're putting God first and others second, and yourself third, you're on your way of fulfilling the Ten Commandments. Think about that just for a moment. If I love God first, and I love others second, and I'm putting out the love that I need to be putting out to them, and I put myself on further down that rung to where I'm putting myself last, then you're working towards fulfillment of the Ten Commandments. Now turn with me to John chapter 13 and verse 34. So we go to the Gospel of John. And this scripture that we're going to look at in John 13 and verse 34 was shared the night before he was crucified. So let me ask you, do you think it was important that he shared it? If he was sharing this the night before his crucifixion, he was trying to share with the disciples something that would be lasting, something that would be impactful in their lives. When you look at verse 34 of John 13, he says a new commandment. Now, in other words, is this something new? And absolutely, it's not something new, because we just already went back all the way to the Ten Commandments. The first four in our relationship with God, the last six is of our relationship with others. So was it something new that he was teaching them? And we've talked about this before in the past. No, it was not something new that he was teaching them, but it would be new to them because they would be putting it in practice. You can walk out of here today and say this scripture was written all these years ago, but God is doing something new, and he's doing something afresh in my life today because I'm going to start living according to the Word of God. That's new. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for the other. A new commandment. And no, it wasn't new. So what was new is that they began, he was encouraging them and telling them that they needed to live this out and through their life. The word for love here also, it was also in Matthew 22 that we got to look at in the Greek, is agape. The primary characteristic of agape love is a self-sacrifice love, that you're not doing something, that you're going to get something back in return. Many churches don't even live that kind of an example. I was sharing with the young people about William and Julie. They go up there, a street ministry at the state fair. They are asking nothing in return. They don't have a church that they're encouraging people to come to. They're encouraging people to come to our church if they're close, but they're doing everything that they are doing with never thinking that they are ever going to receive anything in return. And many churches don't even live that kind of an example. The primary characteristic of agape love is a self-sacrifice. It's not a brotherly love or even an emotional connection. It's a love that wishes the best for them. It's putting their welfare above your welfare. A sacrificial love is not based on feelings. It's not a determined act. It is a determined act of will that I'm going to do this, and I know I probably never will see anything in return. There will never be a return on my investment, but I'm going to do it anyway. A resolve. I will pray for them. Yes, I will love them. It's being politically polarized and say, I will pray for those on the other side of the aisle. They need salvation as much as I do. So wherever that you stand politically, are you praying for the other side of the aisle? Or sometimes we as Christians will just say, they are so stupid, they are so dumb, I cannot stand them Republicans, I cannot stand them Democrats, when we as Christians, for Pete's sake, we need to be praying for those individuals because many of them do not know Jesus on either side of the aisle. In Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. It's the very first thing that is on the list. The love chapter. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Just listen to the words as you read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believe all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in the part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. Now listen to verse 13. And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is what? Love. The greatest. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 12. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 12. We're going to go back to our text here after a while. But in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him, and He in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because why? Because he first loved us. Crossroads Gospel Church, the most overwhelming gift you have is love. That's what draws people into the church. That's what connects people into the church. A church that exhibits love, the people will feel that love. They will feel that they are accepted, a place where they can connect and grow in God. I have never been so silly to think in all of my theologically, as a pastor, everyone would agree with me. I have pastored churches my whole life. Did everyone walk like me? Did everyone talk like me? Did all believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, evidenced by speaking in tongues? And the answer is no, they did not. But they felt the power of God, they felt the anointing of God, and most importantly, they felt the love of God. You see what that makes a difference? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Not everybody's going to be like Pastor Leo. Not everybody's going to believe like Pastor Leo. I think of myself a little bit like in 2 Kings when Elisha was talking to Elijah. And Elijah said, Elisha, he says, what is there something I can do for you before I leave? And he says, give me a double portion of your spirit. Give me a double anointing. If God's whirlwind comes down through this church, I'm going to get in it. If the chariot of fire rolls down the aisle, Pastor Leo is going to get on that chariot. Yeah. And no, not everyone is like me. God, what you have poured on me, that's the way I am. God, I don't want to miss out anything. If there's something there and it's true and it's real, then I want it to be a part of my life. But what we must have a like is the love of God. That's what we must have a like. That's where the unity is. Saints, that is what our connection is to each other. The love of God through His Spirit. And the love of God through His Spirit draws people in, and they may not necessarily agree with your theology, but they will accept your love. That's what you feel in this church. That's why people don't want to leave after church. That's why sometimes in the evening, people just kind of want to hang around. I don't want to leave. I feel the presence of God here. I don't want to leave this place. There's places that you can go to that they're never going to speak about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They're never going to speak about speaking in tongues. But I'll tell you what, in many of those churches, you will not feel the Spirit of God either. You will not sense any anointing. And I believe that everyone in this room, sometime this day, you felt God's touch on your heart. Yes. And that's what draws you back. As long as Pastor Leo loves me, as long as Pastor Carol loves me, as long as other people love me in the church, I'm going back to that place. That's a place where I can be accepted. That's where a place where the pastor stands up and says he's nothing but a sinner that has been saved by grace. And that's exactly what I am today. Hallelujah. Now, if you look back at John 13 and verse 34 again, John 13 and verse 34, and I know we read it, but we're going to go back to it. In verse 35, it says, "But this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." People will know. Let me put it in my paraphrase. People will know that you're the real deal because you love each other. Every other sermon could be on love. We don't speak enough about love in the church, and we most certainly don't have it down pat. Do you have love perfected in your marriage? Do we have love perfected in the church? Do we have love perfected as parents to our children or as parents to our grandchildren? And the answer is no. We continue to work towards that, continue to drive towards that. Now we better get back to our text. So go back with me to Luke chapter 6, because we're going to look at this a little different today. Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6, in Luke chapter 6, in verse 27, we'll read 27 through 33 again. It says, "But I say to you who hear, I love your to love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you." Real easy to do, isn't it? We submit to that all the time. How many times does somebody do something to us and we never want to speak to them again? We never want to see them again. We don't want to expose our life to them any longer because what? Because we got hurt. "To him," in verse 29, "who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other cheek also. From him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same." Our expectations are higher in regards to love than it is in any other investment in the world. Because when you share love, you're sharing of your personality, of your person. There's a cost there of your emotion that you're sharing that love. In the last 2 years, many have seen losses in their 401k if you have investments. What do we say? Stay calm. Stay the course. It will come back. But when it comes to love, we want that instant return on our investment. I have shown them love. Well, I don't see it coming back to me. That's it. I'm done. Biblical love is not turned on, but off when they don't respond as we think they should respond. Biblical love is only turned on. There is not an off switch. You are not responsible, brother and sister, for the response or for the reaction. Your responsibility stops at, "I will love them." Now listen to me. Your return is not from them, so don't expect it. We don't lay up treasures on earth where moth gets into it, eat, and rust destroys. We're laying up treasures in heaven. That's where your love treasure is being sent, when you reach out to love to somebody else, even when they do not receive or you do not get it back from them. You're not responsible for their reaction. You're not responsible for their response. You are only responsible to love them. This needs to be a church that everyone in the church is trying to outlove the other person. Think how that'd be. I'm going to outlove everybody that is in this church, and everybody else is saying, I'm going to outlove everybody that is in this church. Your return is not from that person. It's not from those people. Your return is from God. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse 35, what it says. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High and the daughters of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Therefore, be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. What does it say in verse 35? But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and what? And your reward will be great. Really, it's little consequence or not whether you love me. Now, I want your love. As your pastors, we want your love because we love you. And we're going to keep loving you no matter what. You know what? I'll state this in front of the congregation. You cannot do anything to stop me from loving you. And that's what everybody's heart should be. You can't do anything for me to stop loving you. There is always a return on your investment, and your return on your investment will be from your relationship of your Heavenly Father. Now turn with me, I think, one more last scripture. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, when it says, for when we were still without strength, what does that mean? You were without strength of saving yourself. You cannot save yourself. There is nothing that you can do to save yourself. So he says, for when you were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. Listen to this. But God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Did Jesus know that there would be a return on his investment when he died for you? When Jesus died for everyone in this world, did he know from that person there will be a return on my investment? And the answer is no. He did not know that you were going to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you're going to be part of the kingdom of God. Now, we can say God is all-knowing, but let's just set that off to the side. He did not know, because you're a free moral agent. It's up to you to make that decision. He didn't know if you were going to make that decision, but what did God do? He loved. He loved. Jesus loved so much that he was willing to give his own life, because he knew what? His return was going to be from you? Absolutely not. He knew that his return was going to be from his Heavenly Father, and right now he sat at the right-hand side of God in the fullness of glory. That was his return. Someday there's going to be a return on what you put out in the way of love as well. Saints, it will be an investment, a heavenly investment, and your return will be someday you will walk on the streets of gold and glory. Hallelujah. That's worth sharing my love on this world, even though it may not be returned to me. Church, love is the most significant thing that is needed in the church today. What did he say in chapter 13? He says, we look through a glass darkly. Today we only know in part. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with tongues with all my entirety that I have, that I love that. And I believe that today. But is that the most important thing? And the most important thing is not that. The most important thing that you can have, that you can share, you want to be like God, you want to have the God attributes in your life, then start loving other people. Because that is the most godly thing you can do. Because when we leave this earth, the tongues and the interpretations will cease. One thing will remain. Three will remain. The one being the most important is what? Love. Love each other. Everyone needs your love. There are so many people that come here at church every week and don't necessarily need money and don't necessarily need your advice. They've been lonely all week. You ever been lonely in a crowd? If you've ever been depressed, you have been. You can be surrounded by a crowd of people and feel like you're the only one that's in there. That's their world. That's the world that they live in. When they walk in through those doors, they need to feel the love of the body of Christ, because that's what they're looking for. Will you stand with me today? Carol, would you dismiss us in prayer today?
Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to come together and to worship you and to grow in your ways. I pray, oh Father God, that each one that came today was thoroughly blessed and that your love has taken root in their heart, that they may share that love with whoever they come in contact with this week. Father, I just ask that you bless each one.